Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Well, hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnell, Julie Hayden, the Chuck and Julie Show, grassroots show, Two Straight Up, brought to you by...
The show is brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture, and Chinese Medicine, and also HappyTrees.co. We're going to start the show. You know, on this show, we've been talking a little bit, and we've been giving hints about some of the complete financial improprieties, and that's putting it kindly, that occurred under the previous leadership of the Colorado Republican Party. And Ash Epp from Ash in America and with the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle has a great column in this month's Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle, sort of beginning to reveal the actual truth of the matter. So Ash, hey, thank you for the column. It was amazing. And thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Improprieties is definitely a nice way of talking about the financial scandal with the prior administration.
Well, you know, I have said that I would arguably, I mean, there's more that's going to be coming out, I think, next weekend.
A lot more.
I mean, I think arguably some of it could be criminal, you know, but why don't you jump in and you talk to Dave Williams? Why don't you talk about... Well, let me first start with this. So the establishment people have been steadily attacking Dave Williams, saying, oh, we can't fundraise. They don't have any money. They're even going to be evicted, which was a lie because they haven't been paying the rent. What's the truth of the matter that you were able to find out?
Sure. So I spoke with Chairman Williams about this scandal. And what happened is, prior to leaving her office, former chairwoman Christy Burton Brown announced that they were leaving the party with a surplus of $100,000. $100,000 is, according to Dave Williams. I've heard from other members of the party, it was closer to $120,000. And that was a surplus. And of course, the stated objective of the Republican Party is to get Republicans elected. It's why they haven't focused on any systemic issues or closing the primaries or any of the procedural administrative process type things, because they're so focused on getting Republicans elected. And they failed to get Republicans elected last election. Right. We learned the real outcome or the real impact of open primaries in the 2022 midterm when we saw the assembly results so radically from what happened in the primaries. And so when it appears that this is during the transition of power, that $100,000 to $120,000 surplus was spent, and it was spent on bonuses and on other, basically they paid themselves, is what it appears to be, what appears to have happened. And this happened during the transition of power. So the stated objective of the Republican Party is to get Republicans elected. They did not get Republicans elected. They then paid themselves bonuses for failing to achieve their objective instead of paying their rent. Right. They owed the landlord $9,000. They allegedly, reportedly, according to the chair, had $100,000. And now they don't have $100,000 and they still owe $9,000 in rent.
Right. And what is so ironic about that is, again, so they leaked articles and editorials and all kinds of things trying to claim that somehow this was Dave's fault and that he was being evicted. Yeah. And instead, so let's just make this clear so people understand. There was, when Dave Williams was voted to become the chairperson, roughly $120,000 surplus. So Dave, the grassroots guy, takes over and now there's like zero or practically zero. And so the question is, what did happen to that money? And you're saying they paid themselves bonuses for not doing their job after they knew they were all going to be leaving, right?
Yeah. And I would say that they claimed that there was $100,000 surplus when Chairman Williams was voted into office. We don't know if that's true. Apparently at the Central Committee meeting that's taking place on August 5th, there's going to be a review by the new treasurer and a readout of what's going on with the party's finances. But it's very possible for people that would pay themselves bonuses after losing elections, it's very possible that they just misreported what they had. We don't know. And I agree with you. I think it could be criminal. And I think there needs to be an investigation. If it turns out that there is criminal behavior, it absolutely needs to involve the authorities.
Well, I can say, as a matter member of the executive committee, money went flying out the door to themselves, to the Brownsteins, to everyone else. At the same time, they've been misreporting their filings, and that's on record with the FEC, to the tune of $100,000. And they've carried that over for I don't know how many terms from days of Ryan Call. So in reality, there was a massive negative by the time they actually got inside the door.
Well, and again, so just so folks are clear, and they've been blaming the inability to have the lack of money on Dave Williams. And the reason, at least as far as we can tell, besides just perhaps just having completely messed up books, and I would submit there's a reason that you have completely messed up books, and that is, you don't want anyone to know what was actually in them, but they were paying themselves bonuses on their way out the door. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I could see paying yourself a bonus after the election, even though we lost. I could see the argument for that. But why would you pay yourself a bonus knowing that you were all leaving? I mean, that's that's corrupt. I'll just put it that way.
So the FEC filing information, the misrepresentations to the FEC is something that I have heard from sources, but I had not been able to confirm with an existing member of the executive committee. So you just did that for me, Chuck. Thanks for that.
Well, it's on public record.
Yeah.
Because the treasurer said, I cannot sign this. It'd be a criminal act for me to sign this, knowing it's wrong. So he didn't. He said, there's this six-figure discrepancy that's gone on for ever since Ryan Call.
Yeah, and here's why. So, Julie, to your point, I'm not sure of any other industry where you can completely fail to meet your objectives and then get a bonus. But maybe you could make the argument, right? I can see that happening, right? Certainly in politics. You always get rewarded for failing in politics, it seems. But when we think about why this is important to Colorado, Colorado voters, Republicans, at least the base, right? The new leadership of the party, both in the counties, a lot of the counties went to America First leadership, and in the state party, their biggest problem is a brand problem. The Republican Party for the past decade has been detached from the people. I've said it before. Right. I think they're very content being the minority party in the state. It works out for them, right? They pay themselves bonuses when they fail. And so if they want to appeal to voters and not be the minority party in the state, they're going to have to deal with the brand and trust problems. There's very little trust in the Republican Party, largely because of the establishment that's been running it for, the past several decades and certainly the past decade. So as we look at, what is the appropriate response in our current environment? Well, if your objective is to rebuild trust and to, fix the brand issues in the Republican Party, the last thing you want to do is sweep a massive financial scandal under the rug. And, I don't know if we're going to see accountability. I don't tend to think so, because we never see accountability when it comes to politics. There's always a reason that it gets swept under the rug. But if we want to appeal to voters, if the Republican Party, and you guys know I'm not a Republican, and I fully advocate and endorse closing the primaries as not a Republican. But you've got to deal with the trust problem. And this is, I think that there is the financial scandal that happened. I also think that there's an element of sabotage happening here. So this mires the new leadership in a financial scandal,
right,
leaves them with zero resources and hurts their ability to bring about the change that they were focused on and campaigned on and got elected on into their leadership positions. And I think that's kind of the point.
Well, a sabotage, I think it was definitely, and not just an element of sabotage. I think the whole point was, number one, to line their own pockets on the way out the door. And then number two, use the whole financial issue as an excuse or as to sabotage the incoming grassroots leadership. Because number one, like you said, you know, they were ready to hit the ground running and they get in there. And I mean, they had storage spaces that weren't, I mean, it was a complete disaster, right?
Well, it took them 2 months to locate all the bank accounts. Right. Well, they think are all the bank accounts.
Yeah. There were obviously folks laying around. It's like,
I mean, all of a sudden, here's another one. And there's a reason why they were hiding some of these bank accounts, because some of them included payouts, which the insiders didn't want to be shown to the new people.
And so in the meantime,
scandalous. That is scandalous. Having 10 or however many it was bank accounts floating around. Nobody's doing proper accounting of what's going on. And there are payouts happening, you know, to friends and lobbyists. And you know, it is so scandalous. And if it gets swept under the rug, the Republican Party is going to have a real hard time with me.
I think it was sort of a double sabotage too, because number one, they sabotaged their ability to hit the ground running because they've got to straighten this mess out, right? And now if you're the Republican leadership, and I do know because we've had conversations with the Republican leadership about it, they want to get the word out. But I think every time they turned around, they would find something new. And I think that next weekend, I think this report, I think they feel like they've gotten to the bottom of things. And so I think you're right. They don't want to sweep it under the rug, but then it becomes a problem. And which the, you know, meanwhile, those other people still have the money, by the way, which has probably already been spent. But now if you're Dave Williams, you have it's kind of a struggle. I mean, on one hand, you want to regain the trust, but on the other hand, the other side is so good at muddying the message. They control a lot of the mainstream media reporting on this. And so you got to be concerned, at least I would be, about how is this going to be represented. And yet you got to get it out. Like you said, it's a double-edged sword, I think.
Well, it's also the third part about it. A lot of things they found, if you accuse somebody and they're not true, would be libelous. So you better make sure they're true. You better dot your I's and cross your T's and better make sure they're true.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I've recently found out that you can accuse anybody of anything as long as you put it in a lawsuit, because then you
that's
can
true.
Speak about the legal case.
That's true.
Yeah.
As a lawyer, I can tell you that's true.
The other thing that I wanted to bring up here is, you know, Julie, you mentioned they still have the money. Christy Burton Brown has moved on to a very lucrative PAC position. And this I just find so unbelievably ironic, given the fact that she is mired in a financial scandal, or at least should be. It's, you know, fallen to new leadership to deal with the scandal, but it's her scandal, make no mistake.
Right.
The mission of her PAC, the Advanced Colorado PAC, the mission is to support policies that increase economic opportunity and greater government transparency. We will oppose policies that would be harmful to Colorado's economic well-being and efforts to unnecessarily grow the size and reach of government. And so she's at her organization that she works for now. They're very excited. In the announcement of her taking this job, the president of Advanced Colorado said that she has a proven track record of uniting Coloradans, which I found hilarious.
Against Republicans.
So divisive.
Yeah. Well,
such a divisive figure, but she's now going to focus on transparency.
There we go. Well,
she was a member of Joe Altman's, I think it was also called FEC, and which was very, very grassroots and very conservative and everything else. And now she's over Advanced Colorado, which is, you know, George Brockler's there. It's really just one more shill for Phil Anschutz. He's the one behind it.
Yeah. And I have a very long memory. And I remember when Christy Burton Brown was elected into her chair position. She was one term chair. And that's largely because what she campaigned on in the chair election, she failed to deliver. She said she was going to focus on election integrity. She said she was going to focus on supporting grassroots efforts. The reason that all of the grassroots candidates in the third round of elections shifted their support from their other candidate to Christy Burton Brown is because of concessions that she made that she then just failed to deliver on. Just
well,
turned her back.
They
on,
weren't concessions.
On the grassroots.
She was saying, "I'm a grassroots person."
Promises.
Her main opponent. Her main opponent was Scott Gessler, who was absolutely establishment. And then you had Casper Stockholm, who threw all the support to her. So she ran as a grassroots candidate. And if you read some of the emails, it's kind of illuminating of to how much Christy Burton Brown was a grassroots person.
Well, and, you know, I think it goes, and Leo here was saying, you know, why don't we talk about what they want to do instead of the past? And Leo, we will, and we are, but I think it's important that people understand that the establishment has had that is not in the previous establishment leadership is pulling out all of the stops to do everything they can to undermine the grassroots. And we'll get into the Bonnie Amendment there. I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of effort they're putting into trying to get rid of that. And one of the ways they're doing it is by calling into question Dave, the new leadership's ability to raise money, to handle money. And they did that by sabotaging them, by essentially pocketing all of the money, whatever there was left, before they left.
Well, I think it's NBC's Margaret Brennan. She said to, I forget which Republican, Jim Jordan or somebody, don't you think it's time to move on from Hunter Biden? Now that we've got the guilty plea, we can move on. You know,
Hunter Biden's guilty plea has nothing to do with his laptop or the 459 documented crimes on the laptop. It's to pacify people saying that there's asymmetrical justice, but there absolutely is asymmetrical justice. Just to Leo's point, I just want to say that. The problem is, yes, absolutely. It would be great to move on and just focus on rebuilding the party in the future. The problem that you have is that the Colorado electorate has severe trust issues. And if we just move on and don't deal with the scandal and don't try to rebuild the party in a transparent way that rebuilds trust among the voting population, the Republican Party is going to continue to hemorrhage members, and we're going to continue to lose elections. We need transparency. One of the biggest problems, Hunter Biden's a great example of it. They want us to move on from Hunter Biden. They want us to move on from pandemic response. They want us to move on from the stolen election. They want us to move on from Afghanistan. They want us to move on from the border. And when we move on from those things, nobody gets held accountable, and the corruption within the bureaucracy continues. If we're going to fix this problem, if we're going to win elections as conservatives and Republicans in Colorado, again, we have to rebuild trust with the voters.
Well, it's hard to build up trust in Republicans when the unaffiliated, along with the Democrats who registered for one day as unaffiliated, vote for candidates who are anti-pro-life. They are anti-Trump, and they're anti-election integrity. And you kind of go, well, there's a branding problem. What the hell do you stand for?
I stand for making money and paying consultants a lot of money. Pretty much. You know? Well, you know, and here's the thing, too, back to this whole financial scandal. I hope that some of the big donors out there are paying attention. I got to imagine if I'm a big donor, I'm like, wait a minute, you what? You did what with the money? We didn't win any elections and you gave yourself a bonus. I hope if you're a donor, you're calling up some of these consultants and some of these people and saying, what the heck was going on over there, right? Yeah. And then I hope they turn around and look at the new leadership, as you said, who hopefully will reveal all of this, will do their best.
Oh, we'll never know all of it. I promise you.
I think you got to establish that trust too. And hopefully, I don't know. Sometimes I think that some of the big donors are just kind of happy just being big donors, and you know, they don't really care about actually winning either, you know, as long as they can. I don't know what their point is, to tell you the truth, but I think that's an important thing too, that they have to address.
Yeah, I completely agree. And when we look at, you know, Chuck, you're talking, I think you were about to head into talking about closing the primaries. Yeah. One thing that we have to get back to, and it's not back that far, right? Prop 107 and 108 was 2016. But we're not talking about, you know, going back to the Stone Age. We're saying, hey, this pilot that we did of open primaries didn't work. That's essentially, it's doing a postmortem on 107 and 108 and saying, hey, this actually turned into a really corrupt process that no longer represents the will of the people in the party. Our political parties are First Amendment protected. The idea that you have to open up the association, the freedom of association to a political party, to everybody in the state, in order to pick the candidates on the ballot, you've instantly then determined that the candidates on the ballot are no longer reflective of the people within the party. And that, to me, is we see the impacts of it, right? Right. We saw what happened in the 2022 primaries. Go ahead.
You got to have something of your own ideas. And if all you elect are people who are really Democrat light, you have nothing. You have no choice. I mean, the whole point of parties, the whole point of free association is so they can bring ideas forward. Well, when the other team can take over who your candidates are, when they can vote who your candidates will be, you have no message. You have Joe O'Day. You have, which Dick Wadham says is the greatest candidate ever run.
Right. Well, and again, you got to keep in mind the reason that the consultant class likes the open primary is because the Democrats pay to have fake Republicans run. And so the real Republicans don't have giant coffers, right? They don't have giant campaign expenditures. But the fake Republicans who are funded by the Democrats have a ton of money to run. So if I'm a consultant, let's see, do I want to represent a really rich fake Republican with a lot of money, or do I want to represent a real Republican with very little money? I mean, that's what's going on here.
Well, they also get to the petition route and they make a suit. There's a huge money operation for petition signatures, all that run by the consultants and others. Out of Colorado Springs and elsewhere.
Well, I mean, this is the way it's supposed to work. So if we nominate like real Republicans and they lose, well, we have the whole putting election integrity aside, which I know is a big if, but I mean, at least that's the vote. And I think, you know, we can talk the attacks against the Bonneval Amendment and the opt out. I mean, they completely misrepresented. They're calling Chuck Stalin-esque from simply saying, if you're not there, it's assumed to be a yes vote. I mean,
well, it's easy. For 20 years, starting in about 2002, the Democrats have changed every aspect of our elections, every aspect. Yeah. Every time they change it, Republicans say nothing and do nothing. And 108 was a perfect example where only 53% approved it. So the majority of Republicans probably opposed it. And yet they say, oh, I was against that, but now we have to stay because we'll alienate the unaffiliated. Yeah. And they also made it impossible to opt out by saying you need 75% of the membership. So everybody who doesn't show up is a no vote. So sitting down in my chair one night, having a cocktail, I said, well, that's not fair. Why don't we just change it to a yes vote? So I drew up a little, bylaw and sent it on to Dave, and all hell is broken loose. Holy shit.
You're stalling now.
Oh, my God, how dare you propose an amendment to the Democrats' plan. Dick Wadham just lost his lunch on the Denver Gazette.
Well, yeah, and, it's important for people to understand that mandatory open primaries are unconstitutional. The Supreme Court decided in the Democrat Party versus Jones in the year 2000 that you can't mandate, that there is freedom of association, that parties have a right. So that's why our open primary legislation 107 and 108 has this opt-out feature in it, because it's unconstitutional otherwise.
Right.
So what we have is is 75% of the committee members have to vote yes in order to override
of all the of them. So they don't show up, it's a no.
Right. And it's out of that which it blows my mind. It's out of the population of everyone, whether they're there or not. And so you can sabotage the vote by just not showing up.
Well, exactly.
That to me is incredible.
In 2018, 2020, I think 2016, nowhere close to 75% people went to the meeting. Yeah. In 2022, because they figured out we'll just squash it, they got enough proxies to get over 75%. And then using the automatic no, crushed it. So you say, well, let's slightly make the playing field a little easier. So, with
so
all
like you said, so at least they have to show up or have a proxy. Otherwise, you're right. The way you would win is just don't show up.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can get a proxy. If you want to vote no, then bring a proxy. And you can't be there, bring a proxy. And you're right. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And you can tell that they're so annoyed and they're freaking out about it because they're fighting so hard against it. I mean, it's really hard to find an actual valid argument about, well, if it can be considered no, why can't we just say, well, we now are going to assume it yes. I mean, because the whole thing is ridiculous. And like you said, what other election system do you have to have 75% of the whole population, right? You would be like,
well, it's like everybody in the United States, 75%, even if only 50% vote. And you go, okay, well, that's fair. And yet they're, Colorado Peak politics, Dick Wadhams, all of the I'm sure Advanced Colorado, George Brockler, all of them go, oh, no, That's undemocratic, because whatever the Democrats want to do is by definition.
No, what's undemocratic is not allowing your party to operate as a party and opening it. What we saw in 2022, and I, you know, it's the first time that I was paying close attention to this process, was in 2022. And we saw a result at the assembly that shocked the world, right? World of Colorado. Every single Senate candidate, except for Ron Hanks, failed to make it onto the ballot. We saw that, you know, despite all the clicker issues and all of the other things that happened, we saw America First candidates sweep. It was obvious that the will of the people was with America First. And then we head into the primary, and in the primary, the opposite happens.
Right.
And so what you have to believe then is that the party voting members at the assembly weren't actually put in their positions by the people that they represent in their precincts. And I don't believe that, because we had at that point the most engaged Republican Party that Colorado had seen in at least 10 years. The assembly was more well attended than any in recent memory, in recent history. And the people were engaged, and the people that were there voting represented populations of Republican voters in their precincts and their Senate districts and, you know, and all of it. And so it's a very detached result that we saw in the primary. I think they manipulated it. I've made I have no illusions about our elections. I think that they're rigged, but it's a big part of how they were able to manipulate the primaries, because it's open. And because, you know, as Chuck said, Democrats can register for one day and show up and vote. And
unaffiliated for one day and show up and vote.
Something too, and they're pushing. I mean, there's going to be, I guarantee you, someday soon, yet another thing that essentially says, well, anyone can vote in any primary. You know what I mean?
Kemp Thierry always says he wants Democrats to vote in Republican primary.
You don't even have to switch your affiliation, right? Anybody who wants to vote, and since Democrats don't have primaries, and they'll just vote. I mean, that's where we're going. I mean, people need to realize this, that the Democrats have been manipulating the system, and they're not manipulating it for the benefit of Republicans, you know? And so we need to go back. Like you said, they make it sound as if this is some opting out is like this closing the primary just to Republicans.
Liberating the primary.
Some massively bizarre, never heard of idea. And instead, it's the way we did it for years.
For 100 years.
When Republicans actually won. What? Oh, go ahead.
No, it's fine. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you, why your theory on why the establishment people seem to be freaking out so bad?
Well, they're more exposed than they've ever been. Yes. So as you were, you know, talking just about Democrats manipulating the system, that's certainly the case here in Colorado. But in red states, Republicans have been manipulating the system, establishment Republicans. What we see is a coordinated uniparty effort to keep the establishment forces in power. And that is, you know, in Colorado, that's the donor class and the lobbyist class. It is the same donor class and lobbyist class everywhere, right? But we see a coordinated effort, whether we're talking about HR 1 from a federal standpoint, going back to HAVA. Right. HAVA was a federalization of U.S. elections. And we've seen these changes happening over 20 years. So when I think about why are they freaking out, why are they pushing back so hard on everything? It's because they see their power slipping. Their power, the power of the uniparty establishment only works if the people don't see it. It only works if the narrative continues to work, and the narrative is crumbling all around them. And they're more exposed than they've ever been. I think it freaks them out as well. It should.
Well, we'll talk about it a little bit later, probably, but this Israeli huge demonstrations, massive protests, everything else over what is not much of a change in the way the judiciary works for this first bill. Why so much? Why hundreds of thousands? Why? Because the uniparty in Israel controls the judicial system. And because they control the judicial system, they can interfere in everything the elected officials do. And yet they would make you seem like, oh, my gosh, I mean, how could the Netanyahu government actually want to make decisions? I mean, they should leave it to us, the left. And it's true everywhere.
It is. Well, Ash, listen, we get it. Because I know you have so many things going on, I can't even keep up.
Well, how much of a reaction have you gotten to your
column? I can't keep up either.
Yeah.
What's that? I missed it, Chuck. What'd you say?
Well, how much reaction have you got to the column?
Oh, this one's been great. I've had a great response, both, you know, personally, people reaching out to me to tell me how much they hate me, as well as people liking this one. There's actually people that like this, And what we saw, Julie and I were talking about this yesterday, the Facebook is throttling the comments on, yes, on the piece. So several members of the, you know, members of Republicans in Colorado shared this on Facebook, and certain comments have been, you know, smashed for violating community standards for sharing the GOP civil war. Maybe it's because it says war. I don't know. The left can write civil war all they want and they don't get throttled on Facebook. But yeah, this is definitely ruffling some feathers. It was a fun piece to write, but really it made me more angry than anything else. So I'm certainly looking forward to August 5th to see what the financial readout looks like and what they're going to do to hold people accountable for this. Taking the donations to the party and paying yourself bonuses rather than paying your rent, especially when you completely failed to reach the objectives for which you were in your position to begin with, is scandalous and possibly criminal. There needs to be some accountability.
Well, I can tell you what the excuse is. They say, well, you see, we got that money from the RNC, and the RNC demanded that it go to salaries, and therefore we had to get the bonuses. As opposed to going to the RNC saying, we need to pay the rent. Can we pay the rent?
And RNC said,
they've always got a great excuse.
Well, the RNC can say that it needed to go to salaries, and maybe that's true. Then it should go to the salaries of the incoming leadership. It should not go to pay bonuses for people who failed.
Right.
Exactly.
Ash, so anyway, linktree.com/AshInAmerica. I'm doing a lot of shows. I do 9 live shows a week now with Badlands, and I'm writing in a whole bunch of different places. So the best place to find it is linktree.com/AshInAmerica.
Okay. We love you. Right. Everybody loves you as usual. Thank you so much. Great job. Thanks, on the guys. Column. All right. And then you can get Ash there. And then if you go to GlendaleCherryCreek.com, you can get the original article too. There's been a bunch of great comments here. So from Charlene, I think this goes all the way back to Bill Owens. That's true. They say you're a genius. You know, when it's working, they lose their lunch. From Charlene again, exactly. It's a bipartisan effort to keep the establishment in power. And it sounds like somebody's on the offense. Yay. Exactly. Well, that's what Dave Williams said going in. He goes, we're not playing defense anymore. We're going to be playing offense. So, hey, why not also then kind of along what Ash was talking about, there is the corruption, and all of it only works as long as people don't see it. And one of the reasons I think we're seeing such a backlash and all this disinformation and the weaponization of everything, basically, is because they are being increasingly exposed. But people see it and people are less afraid. So I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to this song. It's a country western song or country music song. Try That in a Small Town, written by a guy by the name of Jason Aldean. I got to admit, I had never heard of him or the song, but the left is freaking out about this song, and they're calling it it's racist, sexist, anti-trans.
It's a lynching song.
A lynching song. Now, the song itself actually doesn't say anything about any of these things. It's just a guy saying, look at all the way. The song basically is, look at everything that's falling apart in cities, urban areas that are in decay that would not happen in a small town, because in small towns, people look out for each other. So I want to play some stuff for you there. If we could please, Thomas, this is just a little bit of the song. If you could play the video song, Try That in a Small Town. If we could play that, please.
Cool, like to fool if you like, 'cause I had a cop spit in his face.
have like a lot of songs that just kind of repeats that same kind of theme. It has, you know, nothing to do with race or anything like that. Oh, we got Jacob raising his hand. Hey, Jacob.
Hi. How you doing? I sent you an email. I sent you an email today about this Amber McReynolds taking over the post office department now.
Yes.
That she wants to. Yes. So there you go. It's a continuation. So
I'll just say,
and heaven forbid if Trump wins. Oh, I feel bad for Amber. Because yes. He's going to go after her.
She was, exactly, and I thank you for that. And actually, I think we're going to talk about that, do a whole bigger thing on it. Just, again, the whole way that the election system is being manipulated, and they have to, because they know they can't win. Right? I mean, back to the song, right? They know if people listen to the song, they're like, oh, that song's not racist. That song doesn't even talk about lynching, right? And they're like, can't have that. They just got to squash everything. So thanks, Jacob.
Yeah. One last thing on that, and on the Israeli subject. The only people making money on this whole issue now are the flag makers, because people go to protest with one flag and then they go home and buy another flag. And it's you know, I was told that about from an Israeli who lives there, and he says the flag makers are the money makers.
That's a good point.
All right. Thank you. Hey, well, and back to the song. So the country music TV immediately banned this from their TV, right? The left is, and we'll play some crazy critics, you know, the left is freaking out about it being race, having not even heard it, right? Racist. It's a lynching song.
So that's the Murray County Courthouse in Columbia, Tennessee. And so they just went back and found out there's a lynching. I don't know who, could be white or black.
1927.
You can go anywhere. There's a murder. There's a killing. There's a all of a sudden, you know, you can't have a video because sometime 100 years ago something wrong.
Something because somebody had to do their research to destroy the song, right? I mean, and the Democrats do that. They have opposition researcher digging up dirt. I mean, that's what they do. They have whole organizations that do that.
Well, they came after us. We know.
Right. And so somebody had to dig up dirt. And here's what Jason Aldean, he said about that. He goes, oh, we had no idea in 1927 there might have been a lynching here. He's like, this is a courthouse. They shoot all kinds. It'd be like, it's, you know, we did stand-ups in front of the Denver courthouse for TV shows, right? I mean, he says
there's a riot there in 1922.
In place to shoot video and to shoot stuff. He said everybody does it there. So think of that, the fact that they had to do their work to go through all of those images to find something that they could call it racist. Well, so he was canceled on the country music TV. But here's the thing. The song is now trending number one on YouTube music, in spite of YouTube's efforts to censor it. And it's also now number one in the country music charts. And so they were calling on him to stop playing the song, to quit singing it. And here's what he had to say at a recent concert. So if we could please play the Jason Aldean soundbite.
A lot of things out there. And one thing I love, you guys know how it is this day and age, cancel culture is a thing. That's something that... if people don't like what you say, they try and make sure that they can cancel you, which means try and ruin your life, ruin everything. One thing I saw this week was a bunch of country music fans that could see through a lot of the bullshit, all right? I saw country music fans rally like I've never seen before, and it was pretty badass to watch, I gotta say. Thank you guys so much. So I have people ask me, man, everything's going on with this song. Do you think you're going to play it tonight? Do you think you're not going to play it? And I said, you know, people that come to my shows, you guys know what I'm about. You know what I stand for. I've never shied away from that at all. And I know a lot of you guys grew up like I did. You kind of have the same values, the same principles that I have, which is we want to take our kids to a movie and not worry about some asshole coming in there shooting up the theater, right? So when somebody asks me, hey man, you think you're going to play this song tonight? The answer is simple. The people have spoken, and you guys spoke very, very loudly this week.
Again, if you're the left, you've got to be extremely, I hope, uncomfortable. I mean, I know they're like, all those people are like, you know, they're all racist and homophobes too. But here's the thing. It's, I mean, there are way more people there who, including me, who never heard of this guy. I'm sorry, but I didn't. Who now are wherever, and I support him, right? And I will buy the song and support this song. And, you know, no matter all of what they're trying to do to crack down on people.
There's one more hand up.
We've got, yeah, is that Johnny?
Yeah, it's me.
Hey, Johnny.
I bought the song. I got the lyrics, went over, and that Whoopi Goldberg, the most stupidest woman I've ever seen. I don't know what happened to her, or was she ever intelligent? Maybe like a Harris, kind of too, always stupid. And I wish Denver was like that, a small town. We used to be a little bit like that.
Right.
But now that these guys have taken over, it's just very frustrating. But yeah, I got the song. Last July I was at this Christian cafe called The Drip, DJing outside, and 40 LGBTQ whatever their things are came out, was shouting at the coffee house, disrupting what we were doing, and this whole left thing they're just totally crazy, and all they can do is shout you down, not have a real conversation, and we're going to go back out there again, the first Friday again, because this is ridiculous that we can't have freedom of speech, but they could have freedom of speech.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
True, Johnny.
No, exactly. Yeah. Well, and you said you lived with the lyrics. I mean, it's talking about this wouldn't happen in a small town. It certainly slams big towns, right? And like Denver and Decay, but there, it's not racist. It's not, you know, anti-trans or, they're just like, it just needs to be shut down because it's pointing out, it's not going with the narrative that we insist people follow.
Yeah. And only people that would like, you know, jacking an old lady while she's at a red light are criminals.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like it's a controversial position. So, Johnny.
All right.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you. And let us know. Keep us posted on how things go on your first Friday, okay?
What did you say?
Let us know. You said you guys are going back there. You're not going to be shut down. You're going back on Friday?
Yeah, first Friday. And we're going to bring a lot of people with us, because they were trying to deter people from going into the coffee house
What time and where?
We'll be there on the 4th of August from 5:30 to 8 o'clock. I'll be there before the setup, but that's what time my show starts, with just trivia, playing music. And
where's that? Hate Chris,
it's at 869 Santa Fe, the first Friday.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck with that. Thank you, and have a good luck with the event.
Oh yes, thanks.
All right. Well, you know, as you said, here's some of the left again was just melting down talking about it. But I want you to listen. This was this guy on CNN, and I think this critic might have been kind of thinking about being honest, but then he was realizing that he was not going to be allowed to be honest. I mean, let me see what you guys think. But if we could please play the crazed critic soundbite.
CMT pulled this video offering no explanation. Critics claim that it is a modern day lynching song. I'm wondering what you see when you watch this video and listen to the lyrics.
Well, I don't blame people for thinking that, knowing the context of, as you mentioned, the lynching going back to the 1920s. Aldean's people have said privately that they didn't know about the lynching when they shot the video at that site, and that a lot of videos and films shoot there, and it just happened to be that location, unfortunately. It's hard to know whether to ascribe racism exactly to what's going on here. I see it more as kind of a general xenophobia that you see in the song in the video, but about small towns, big towns. We don't want any city slickers coming in here with their demonstrations and their Molotov cocktails and just their city ways in general. But I think, you know, when you hear lines in the song like see how far you get leaving town, I think that is the kind of language that historically people have heard in the South and associate with people being unfriendly to either certain races or demonstrators who had very high-minded
positives.
I don't blame people for taking that leap, I guess is what I would
say.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, of course.
Exactly. It was kind of like, I think there's a part of him that was like, I don't really want to say, no, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard of, because I'm here on CNN and I want to come back. But it's kind of like, so then he kind of just goes with the narrative.
And yeah, Charlene, good to hear from you.
Oh, hi there. Well, one thing I've learned in all my years on this earth is when there's all out concerted effort to stop something, that means it's truthful. And so when you see this, it's like, oh, we're really over the target. But, you know, of course, the Marxists don't want us in small towns. They don't want us on land. Yeah. They don't want us growing our own food. They don't want us. They want us in the big cities where they can control us better and smaller spaces. And he was promoting all those things. So they're gonna do their best to shut those down. But, you know, when they send it out, people like Whoopi Goldberg, and they are kind of like the thought police,
The View
people.
Is the official thought police.
Yes. And when they do that, you know that they really are on target. The primary thing is they don't want us defending ourselves against the Soros terrorists in the deep state. They don't want us to even think about that. Since they can't get our guns, they're just going to ingrain in us that we're not supposed to use our guns. We can have our guns, but we can't use them. So, you know, that's why they're attacking it. But you know, when we give them fuel when we repeat their arguments, because that argument on CNN, I was like, well, now that sounds logical. That sounds reasonable. So you see, it gives them an opportunity to promote their responses. And then the people that are not as astute about propaganda as we are, they're like, well, I guess they have a point. We shouldn't be doing stuff like that. And so, you know, I'm kind of one of these things. I'm kind of the energy person. What we put out into the zeitgeist, it kind of creates more of that attitude or that belief. So we should, I don't even want to repeat CNN's lies. I don't even hear their lies, because it opens a crack. It's like, oh gosh, they may have a point there, when really there's no point to be made at all. The guy's saying, we're Americans, we're defending ourselves, and we love our small towns. And so I don't know. It's just like, I just don't want to give the Marxist any of my energy. And I just want to, but they did bring it into awareness with the whole song. But now
I don't like Nikki Haley, but she's adopted that for her all her events. They play it.
Oh, well, because she needs all the help she can get, you know.
Though what's good is, in spite of all of their efforts, now it's, again, probably would not have been number one, but it's number one trending on YouTube. It's number one in the country music charts. So people are increasingly seeing.
The propaganda. Right. Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe we have to show the propaganda in order to see through it. But, you know, like the whole Barbie thing, people are not seeing through all that subliminal.
We don't have time today. We'll talk about Barbie.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Fascinated about Barbie. Okay. Thank you, Charlene. Appreciate it. And real quick, we can end kind of on a happy note. That, you know, Fox is having its issues, right? But Greg Gutfeld is still, I think, doing a good job there. And so this was, he had a comedian, Jim Brewer, who was addressing this too. So final soundbite, if we could please play the Jim Brewer on Gutfeld.
They only have certain words they always say. Mm-hmm. That is it. You can have a car crash, a song about a car crash, and they go, we need a statement. Racist! Sexist! They hate black people! Did we get, is anyone buy that? You saw this, I listened to the song, I watched the video, there's not, what baffles my mind is, okay, you can burn the place down, you can drag innocent elderly women out of a car and beat them, kick them, you can light churches on fire, but just don't write no songs about it.
Exactly.
Now you're crossing the racial tension line.
Exactly.
So that's there we go. All right. That's what we got to pay attention to.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you to Ash.
And Jean Ash for coming on, and we'll have a lot more about that Wednesday and maybe Friday. So look forward to seeing you all then.
All right. Bye, everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you later.